This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Great to have you with us. Opening half hour of the show brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. We are a couple days away from Memorial Day weekend. Got official start of summer. Indianapolis 500s this weekend. The NASCAR 600 down in Charlotte's this weekend. It's a big racing weekend. And, of course, you still continue with the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs. But racing takes center stage this weekend. After the PGA had center stage last weekend in golf, with all the twists and turns that happened at that tournament last weekend. All right, we're going to take a look at the future of Penn State football. We're going to talk with Ben Jones, statecollege.com, Beaver Stadium moving forward. And as they move forward with it, you know, what's it going to mean for the fans along the way? I mean, when you talk about all the changes that they're making with Beaver Stadium, and they want this done by August of 2027, when all the changes are done, it's going to be the fans that benefit. You know, the comfort of the fans, better bathrooms, fans, better concessions, fans, better concourses, both lower and middle ring, wider, better movement, egress, fans. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And, of course, you want to make sure that the facility is stable. I mean, the maintenance number on Beaver Stadium is really big right now. I mean, really big. It's, you know, I think it's eight figures. I mean, low eight figures a year. So we're going to talk to Ben Jones, statecollege.com, about that in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness. Athlete business, they'll do everything they can to help you and get you on the right path. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And with that, we bring in Ben Jones from statecollege.com. Ben, welcome. It's always great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. It was good to be here.
So the big story coming up will be the appropriation, or at least the thumbs up to it, for Beaver Stadium. What the vote ends up being, we don't know. But it's expected to go through. So what do you know about really what is in this proposal that they have put before them? Because they already have the $70 million to get other elements started.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the big question right now is sort of the what is next part. And Penn State has done a, much to, I think, everyone's chagrin, a little bit a good job of keeping a lot of the specifics under wraps. I think we will maybe get a better idea of what is next on Tuesday. But I think broadly, you know, we know a lot of the projects that have already been underway, which is winterization. They're adding a super ribbon scoreboard, which I have a pretty good idea of what that's going to look like, but not enough confirmed to say it out loud, but effectively a very large scoreboard addition in the south end zone, refabbing some of the LED instrumentation, if you will, in that scoreboard as well, some things like that, some circulation things. But generally, yes, I mean, this is about getting the rest of the money or more of the money approved to move forward with some of the construction. The plan right now is no one would be displaced for this upcoming football season. That will probably change in the future between the conclusion of this upcoming football season and the completion of the renovations in tentatively 2027. Yeah. But some of the specifics, we will still learn that, but certainly it seems like things are about to be undergoing, you know, even more change to Beaver Stadium over the next couple of years.
Yeah, 25 and 26 would be the years that, you know, with the idea they want this finished by August of 27, correct?
Yes, that is the plan, that the 2027 season would be the first under a new-look Beaver Stadium. I forget who exactly. I think it might be Syracuse would be that first game.
Okay.
You know, I try and take it one day at a time, let alone several years at a time, but it will be a big moment, much like when Penn State played, I believe it was Miami, that first game after the expansion.
It was, as a matter of fact. When you look at where everybody is across the country nationally and what they've done with their facilities, I've always had a feeling that this is just on my side, and part of it's also the background of my family, that your investment should match your expectations. Does this fall under that category in your mind?
I think so. And I think that, you know, James Franklin has said it, and I think, you know, that he's right, that if you want to be a major player in college football, which Penn State has obviously been, that you have to put your money where your mouth is, that the day and age of certainly some of the things that Penn State was very good at, which was not necessarily being about all the bells and whistles and everything and still finding ways to win and be successful, that those days are by and large gone. And I think that the things that they are doing to Beaver Stadium, some of them are practical, some of them are a product of the building is old. It's got a lot of its guts hanging out in the wind, and that does things to a stadium after a while that need to be done. And some of it, you know, when you talk about some of the plans they've sort of whispered about or sort of floated, the idea of nicer suites, the idea of different sorts of things throughout the stadium, you know, that's about fan experience, that's about expectations. And there's no question that if you say, look, we're going to spend $700 million renovating the stadium and not all of that is essential, that is a statement about the expectations that you have for your football program and the expectations that you have about what it's going to take to invest in that football program. And I think with the playoffs expanding, with conferences changing, and certainly neither of us know what college football is going to look like in 10 years, but it almost certainly will be even different than it is now in one way or another, that, you know, this is the time where you go, you've got to invest, and you can't really, you really can't half, you know, what it if you want to be good at it.
Yeah, and that's a part of, there's also another element that has now crept into this, and that is something that no athletic director in their 3 to 5 year budget projection 4 months ago could have ever had. And that is the possibility of a $20 million fee every year that would be distributed to student athletes as part of what could be a settlement in the House case. Can Beaver Stadium be a revenue generator outside of football to not supplement all of it, but at least some of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, certainly we have seen historically the Penn State football obviously has basically been the bread and butter of where athletics gets its money to run the show. And I think that if you look at even from outside of football where, you know, we saw the Luke Combs concert, we've seen some other things. And I think that Pat Kraft is, and frankly, probably any athletic director at this particular junction goes, look, we've got a really big building. We can put a lot of people in. If we can make it really nice, if we can make it nicer, if we can make it utilized in different times of the year, I mean, it's going to be how many years in the making at this point when Penn State finally is in a position to hold a Winter Classic at Beaver Stadium. You know, I look forward to not having to ask that question at least once a year to see where things are at with that game. Yeah. You know, there are so many things that you go, you've got to be able to use that building not only for football, but for other things as well. And that comes with renovations, that comes with winterization. And certainly, you know, Penn State's been really lucky that, you know, nationally attendance has been up and down and all over the place. And by and large, the easier it is for you to watch a game at home, the less likely you are to necessarily go to that game. And I think, you know, if you invest in fans coming to Beaver Stadium, they will continue to do that. Certainly, there's no reason to think that Penn State fans are going to stop coming to Penn State football games. But I think at the same time, the moment that you take any fan base for granted is when you start to lose them. And these investments are as much about keeping them there as anything else. And at the end of the day, you're right. You know, you've got to be able to make money to spend it. And certainly Penn State, like every major college football athletic program, is spending money, you know, left and right, both necessarily and otherwise.
You mentioned the Winter Classic, and you were obviously caught covering the Rose Bowl. But Minnesota at Target Field hosted it, I think, a year ago. And did you get any feedback from the people there on what it was like? Because I know looking out from my hotel room like a month later, I could still see the outline of the hockey puck there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge, is you've got to be, you know, I think my understanding, and certainly a lot of things have changed about Penn State over the years, that, you know, one of the challenges of hosting something like the Winter Classic is that you've got to give up the reins to your building a little bit. You've got to let the NHL come in, you know, 6-8 months in advance and say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do to your field, and this is what you're going to do to your stadium. And it takes a little bit of bravery to give that thing away to somebody else. Certainly there are logistical things, you know, about the fact that Penn State's field is grass. It doesn't necessarily have the ability to just be plopped back in like we've seen some of these bowl games and stadiums where, you know, by the time you're leaving, they've already, you know, air blasted the paint off and they're putting the Cowboys logo back on, sort of thing. It's a little bit different with grass. It's a little bit different with a stadium like that, but yeah, no, it's definitely a challenge and one of those things where you've got to be brave enough to give it up. And I think that Minnesota is a good example of, like a lot of these major cities where you go, well, we'll just play it over there instead. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely long-term repercussions for things like putting an entire sheet of ice in the middle of your grass field.
How important is it for Penn State to have people understand that bathrooms, concessions, concourses, egress. These are all for the fans. Have they done a good enough job of explaining to people that a lot of this is for their ease and comfort?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the great challenge in all of this for Pat Kraft and really Penn State at large, I think, over the next couple of years, is to get everybody on the same page about what's happening and why, because there's going to be a moment here where they're going to have to tell people, look, you sat here and you're not going to be able to next year because we're putting scaffolding there. Or, you know, we've already, you know, there are things about parking because of the inflated air-supported practice structure, which is a completely different project that are going to displace people. And you've got to be able to say, look, I know that this kind of sucks, but this is why we're doing it. This is how we're going to make it better for you in the future, make you whole in the future. And kind of take everybody on this journey together, because I think, you know, from a fundraising perspective, and obviously $700 million is going to come from a lot of different places, and probably none of it is going to be from you or me, or certainly not enough to make a dent in it, that, you know, you've got to keep people happy. You've got to make sure that they understand what's going on and why. And, you know, can you make everybody happy? I think we've learned in this day and age is that there's always going to be somebody who's grumpy because that's what they like to do. but I think that, you know, you've got to be able to translate your mission. And certainly there's no question that at the end of the day, a lot of this is for the football program, but a lot of it is for the people in the seats. And, you know, if everybody understands both sides of that coin, you know, I think they can get through this project relatively unscathed.
Anything, what do you want to know about the project as they get ready to present it? What are a couple of things you would like to know?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, it's always easier for people to get excited about things when they see pictures of it. You know, I think that, you know, I'm one of those people because it's my job that I wake up in the morning and I check the OPP website and see what sorts of bids are out there. And they say things like deep foundations and concrete, and I can picture those in my mind, but I can't really tell you what that means for the stadium. So I think, you know, the more that you understand what the vision is, I think the easier it is to translate to people. So I'd love to see some, you know, some pictures, but, you know, I remember however long it was that, you know, that Sandy Barber had that presentation of Beaver Stadium renderings, and certainly there's a balance between this is what's actually going to happen and here's a nice idea of what it might look like. So, yeah, I mean, I think visualizations would be big for me, just to be able to kind of picture what things are going to look like in the future. But obviously, you know, designs, architecture, it's a fluid thing, especially in this stage, so you've got to kind of be prepared for stuff to change. But, yeah, I mean, I think seeing words turn into to images would be the sort of thing, at least for me, I'm a visual learner, Steve. It would be a plus.
Right, exactly. No, everybody does it in various ways. If you put out renderings, now you feel like something's coming to life. Right? Because now you at least have an idea what it's quote going to look like. I mean, that's, I think a lot of people feel that way about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like, you know, when they started to get things underway with Pagula Ice Arena, that you got to watch that little fly through of a bunch of two-dimensional Penn State fans being very excited about goals and things like that. I think it's big because it's a big project. You know, it's a big moment for Penn State athletics at large that you go, we're going to change this really for the first time. Obviously, you know, the suites being added, and I guess it was 2001 was when that all finished up. It's not exactly a million years ago, but, you know, when you think about Beaver Stadium being the traditional historic place that it is, when you're going to make almost $1 billion worth of changes to it, people want to be able to say, at least I know what it's going to look like when it's done. And I think that the days like Tuesday, hopefully, certainly, you know, can be a day where people start to have a better sense of that vision.
What is it like for you as a reporter in this era, covering a sport with NIL, covering a sport with the transfer portal, covering a sport where House versus the NCAA and the possibility of a settlement there? What's it like on your part covering this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. It's exciting in a lot of ways because so much is changing. You know, a couple hours ago, the new, it's not called NCAA football anymore, but the College Football 25 trailer finally came out. You know, it's exciting to see these student athletes have opportunities to sort of be out in the public eye in different ways and be branded in different ways. You know, I think it's fun. And I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, it's like covering, you know, professional sports, or at least what I perceive that might be like, having not done it myself. But, you know, I think it is representative of really how much money is in it, how many eyeballs are on it, and how much the world is changing. And I think, you know, everyone that watches college football loves college football or college athletics. And I think it's good for the sport in the long run to be in the place that it's in, and certainly there are a lot of changes and exciting things, and some of them will be good and some of them will be bad, but I think change can be good, and I think college football is certainly going to continue to be different as we move along, but different is exciting and people care about exciting, and, you know, as someone who talks about it all the time, exciting sure beats boring.
Yeah, no question. And exciting, and at least let's say different, we'll find out what your opinion is on exciting. Adding the four West Coast schools to the Big Ten, I know, brings with it logistical problems and an idea of like this is really the Big Ten. But how do you view having those four in? Does that add to the excitement of the Big Ten? Does it add to the excitement of the job? Or is there another answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. You know, I think the idea that, you know, you can go to USC, and that's a regular season game, obviously not every year, but certainly on a regular basis, that beats, you know, I don't want to disparage West Lafayette, but it's a different experience than Los Angeles. You know, I think that everyone can look at that and go, well, this is entertaining. And I think from the big picture perspective, if you're the Big Ten, you know, I think that for as odd as it still feels and probably will feel for a while to say, you know, Seattle, a Big Ten city, that you know, the Big Ten got ahead of certain things, because what would suck a whole lot more is if the Big Ten missed out on some of these interesting brands.
Yes.
And was stuck with adding Akron or adding some school that really doesn't bring the cachet. I think that in the long run, you know, it positions Penn State to continue to be in a conference of relevance. It continues to position itself to be in a place where it's going to continue to bring in a lot of money from media rights deals. So I think there are a lot of challenges for Penn State to come from this, because it's not like any of these schools are going to be, you know, knocked over and run through by Big Ten teams. But at the same time, I think it makes the Big Ten more interesting, more exciting. And, you know, in the long run, it's just about, can you make it to next year and continue to be relevant in college football as it changes? And certainly Penn State and the Big Ten are positioned as well as anybody in that regard.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. That's a terrific answer. Thanks so much, Ben. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk after they take the vote.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Appreciate it.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, as we continue with the next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back on this Thursday, this half hour brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. The time is now to go and stock up for the Memorial Day weekend. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Beautiful. And so you want to get together with friends, family. Maybe you're going someplace. You want to go empty-handed. You're hosting. You want to make sure you have plenty for everybody. It's one-stop shopping. Go on over, take care of business, and then enjoy this Memorial Day weekend. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to check in with Nate Bauer on 3.com, fresh off a, 2-3 under par score on the golf course. Sir, welcome.
Just hearing 2 or 3 under par makes me shudder. I haven't seen those scores in a very, very long, long, long time.
But you could do it, though.
I mean, I've been 2 under through 3 holes, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
Once or twice. It just doesn't last.
I remember last week I was like something like 1 under par through 6.
I'm sorry.
It's a good feeling. Because it's, not going to last.
No. No. It unwinds very quickly.
Glad I birdied that first hole.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, I think I birdied the first a couple, you know, not the most recent time out, doesn't matter, but I birdied the first and then was just awful after that. And it's more insulting. I would rather just start out as poorly as I am.
You actually could play. I'll get to a couple of football things in a moment. But when they did put out the Big Ten basketball opponents, I wouldn't call it a schedule. You know what the Big Ten Network should do? They should do the schedule at least like the NFL does, you know, just for some fun.
Why do it all in one shot, though, when you can release it piecemeal like this?
Well, actually, that's what the NFL does. We already know who the opponents are and where the games are.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Right? It's the order. And now we get to find out the order and network. We could turn it into a full production. But Penn State's schedule has been deemed, in terms of the Big Ten, how it plays out, the toughest of the group. What makes it that way?
That's a great question. They get a lot of projected good teams, right? Now, first of all, the group that put these rankings together is a gambling site, right? And they awarded points effectively for the difficulty of teams that you're going to face. Okay, so they did ESPN Top 25, On3 transfer portal rankings, 24/7 recruiting rankings, right? Like all of that stuff factored in, but. Look, this is the height of silly season, and I think, you know, making projections like that for next season based on last year's results is, you know, kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, we're not expecting Purdue to be a drastically different team next season than what they were this year.
Right.
Indiana, right? There's all of those things factor in. So I know they tried to account for some of that stuff, but it is an interesting situation when you add in these West Coast teams, right? Penn State is going to go on the road. They're going to get some road trips. I believe they play Southern Cal and UCLA. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on the road at Wisconsin. They've got Illinois on the road. The thing that most stands out to me is the double plays are so infrequent now.
Yeah, there's three, and I knew that was going to happen. That I knew it was going to be 20. I knew it was going to be three home and aways and 14 one plays and one and one to play everybody. And if you look at the four West Coast schools, their home and aways are all with each other, which is smart. Right, so their home and aways are all with each other. Dick Girardi and I had talked about the fact that we felt that should happen, but that everybody else should be regionalized. In other words, Penn State should have had home and aways with Rutgers, Maryland, Ohio State. Right, whatever. They got Rutgers. Indiana's near the cul-de-sac. Minnesota's in a different neighborhood.
Yep.
And one of those three has Palestra written all over it, and you and I know which one it is. So.
There we go. Love it. Give them the taste.
Yeah. But that's what struck me was the lack of regionalization of home and aways for everybody else besides the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, but look, it is what it is, right? It would be, I think, a little naive. Whether these rankings matter or not is kind of overshadows the point that no matter where you are in the Big Ten, you're gonna have a tough road.
Sure,
right? It's gonna be tough, right? I mean, these teams turn over every season, and every season seems like they restock. So Penn State is one of those teams that really isn't turning over, right? I mean, they're bringing back effectively five of the top seven guys that they had last season.
Yep.
That It is one of the at this point in the game of college basketball, a unique instance of longevity, right? I mean, you've got veteran players, you've got guys who have experience. They've been through the ringer at Penn State. Obviously, they brought some transfers in. They're bringing some transfers in, and they have this four-man recruiting class that's coming in. But I think it would be. I am not anticipating any really of those guys to be to upend or disrupt the starting lineup. Maybe our Swiss-born boy from Northern Illinois, but outside of that, it's really not many changes that you're going to see for Penn State's roster this year.
And now you're going to have more people involved that know the system, which is a tremendous plus for Mike and his staff. They're still trying to craft the non-conference. It's dripping out a little bit here and there as to who they're going to play. Now I want to get to the ticketing part of this. You ran the story on ticketing on on3.com, which is when he's not on the golf course or doing this show, he actually does tremendous work.
Occasionally, I try.
Yeah. So what does this mean potentially to the average fan?
Yeah, well, I don't think it really means anything to the average fan, Steve, just to be perfectly honest. The Beaver Stadium's future, what I'm taking from a Sports Business Journal report, I was able to confirm it myself, but effectively what they want to do at Beaver Stadium is they are outsourcing to Elevate, I believe is the brand that it's called. They're outsourcing its premium ticket sales, right, for the future, for future schedules for Penn State football. It's a world that realistically we may see on a tour of the new stadium, right? Yeah. But are many of us going to be frequenting these things? No, probably not. But the general outline of how this works is Penn State Athletics is not in the market or equipped to sell a premium experience in terms of Penn State football games. It's pretty universal. And the reality of some of the other clients that this group has is that nobody else is either. Right? That's not what these athletic departments are equipped to do or meant to do. And so, effectively, the service is, hey, Elevate, Element, they are positioned in the market specifically to sell those tickets. They know what the market is, how to price it. They know what amenities are expected. They know what services are needed within the course of a game before and after. And they're going to sell those because they're moving forward.
Yeah. So now NIL, I spoke in Newcastle last night. So I was out in Ohio last night, right near Ohio, right on the border. And then I'm going to Philadelphia tomorrow for the NIL event. NIL came up, of course, with the populace last night in Lawrence County. It comes up everywhere. They had proposed at one point this NIL tournament, and it got put on the shelf. It is now coming back, right? And they want to go 8 schools this year and 16 the year after. Is this where we're headed with all this, where specific events are going to be to benefit NIL?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe it's naive of me to think that I don't think so, but I think that the broader trend of where this is headed is very evidently and clearly that NIL will be handled in-house, right? Schools will have the authority to arrange deals, right, on the micro, right, for very specific marketing deals with individual players, sponsorship deals, that kind of stuff. But also in the macro of, hey, Penn State has a Pepsi contract – and it is going to be permitted to siphon off some of that money to direct toward its player compensation. You know, Ross Dellinger had a very insightful, I thought, piece today over at Yahoo Sports about the what this actual model is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And even that, what I just referenced, the corporate sponsorships, that kind of stuff, it kind of pales in comparison to splitting off a chunk of television revenue. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, to me, that is very clearly where this is headed, is that NIL and player compensation will land somewhere. I believe the figure he used was $17 to $21 million per year. I think it'll be a little bit higher than that, but it won't be on this, the current system relying so heavily, entirely,
yes,
on the generosity of businesses and donors and boosters and supporters, all of that stuff. That will not be the core foundation of how player compensation is handled in the future. It'll be part of it. It'll be part of the conversation. It'll be something to top you off. But is it going to be this, where it's, hey, sink or swim based on the whims of your booster culture? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be that in the future.
I think once, and I mentioned this last night when it was brought up, and I said, look, at some point there has to be structure. Because I believe that if you put structure and the fans understand the structure as opposed to the Wild West, they'll have fewer problems with it.
Yeah, I actually think that the NCAA's missteps, of which there have been too many to count.
Yeah, they're good at it.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it. Yeah. I think that the things that they're not able to regulate for student athletes, and really should never have been able to regulate for student athletes, it's still within their purview to regulate how programs operate, how universities operate. And so to me, something that I haven't really seen it discussed, but I thought of it the other day. I was like, why isn't it that, okay, you can enter the transfer portal as a player whenever you want. That's fine. Free movement. Okay. If you're not on professional contracts, which eventually they will be, but for the time being, if you're not on those contracts, well, why should the school be able to limit your movement? Fine. But why doesn't the NCAA step in and say, okay, all programs, you have a cap, like they do
right.
with recruiting, right? For a recruiting class, even if it's something that people can rub up against the rules and get as close to that line as they possibly can. Okay, fine. But why can't you say, okay, every school, you are limited to 7 transfers coming in the offseason. That would dramatically change.
Sure.
That would dramatically change for football. The what is it, Steve? 2,100 people in the portal?
Yes.
Yes. Crazy.
Yep. 2,100. And guess what? They all aren't going to find homes.
Right? No.
And I
no, they are not.
And I feel like the transfer portal has actually had a domino effect on recruiting classes. I think it's actually hurting high school players more than it is the establishment right now.
100%, because if you are doing this correctly, even within the last 3 years since the advent of NIL and the transfer portal, the thinking of the market has changed dramatically. It was in that first class,
mm-hmm.
Hey, you better pay for these high school recruits. It is worth it to bring in that stud quarterback for $1 million+ without ever having taken a college football snap. Well, now the thinking is, don't do that. That'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be crazy to allot what money you do have to somebody who is untested like that, not only because it's unlikely that they're going to be able to help you on the field that first year that they're in the program, but also because they can leave.
Yeah.
After one year, they can bail, they can bolt. But why would you do that when you can work the way the basketball has worked effectively for years of having this feeder system, right? Find the guys who want a last crack or maybe have 2 years left that have done something at a lower level and bring them up because they've already proven that they can do it.
There's a somewhat forgotten guy on the Penn State defense because he's been out with injuries, and that's Smith Vilbert. And I thought you wrote a tremendous article about him. What did you learn about him as he now pursues his sixth year and is in a position where he can contribute?
He is a big dude. Yes. That is the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a basketball player. He was a basketball player coming through. That's why his footwork's so good. But he was a basketball player at one point.
Yeah, 6'6", 285. Right. This guy he's been through it. He has been out of sight, out of mind, effectively for the last 2 years. He didn't play with a suspension for 2022. He played in the Rose Bowl, obviously. But even then, it was, I think, 5 snaps in that game. And then this past season, he's been out, right? He missed the entirety of the 2023 season with an injury. So, just because he hasn't been at the forefront of everybody's minds doesn't mean that he can't contribute. And I think that what you're seeing is, Penn State has needs there. Right? They have needs on the defensive line. You've lost a couple of draft picks to the NFL from defensive end spots, and Vilbert has some position flexibility that I think really, really helps him to be able to play both defensive tackle and defensive end.
My friend, always a pleasure. I'll let you go back out. Were we on the 8th hole, 2 under?
Today's a work day, Steve.
No, today,
but I appreciate the sentiment.
No. It's a work day. I can't stand when the job gets in the way of your job.
Trying to get 1% better every day.
Gee, where have I heard that before? Hey, Nate, thanks, buddy. I always appreciate it so much.
All right, thanks for having me.
The outstanding Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Next half hour, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. $20 million per school. We'll talk about that with him in just a few moments. This half hour has been brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Memorial Day weekend now. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.